listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey yo. Realize the realism of this, of reality treats us both the same, cause satisfaction is the name of the game. So I choose to explain, it's evident. Left eye don't mean the rest of my body is irrelevant.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right. Hi guys. Today we're going to talk about racism. And we brought on one of our famous people, favorite people.
Yes, he is.
Somebody has been on the show so many times, it's almost impossible to count.
Yes, I always love when she's on. She's one of my favorite people.
We're in episode like 1120 today. She's been on episode 330, Lil Scrappy the Scientist.
You've been hanging around a long time.
She's been on episode 348, Rod versus the Lizard. It was a lot of people's favorite episode. She's been on episode 394, Good to Know Every Day.
Yes, a lot of people's favorite episodes.
She's been on episode 400, Be a Lady Tonight.
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, she's been on some good episodes. That was when I figured out that those old nice Showtime-y lyrics are actually pretty sexist. She was on episode 458, Bulletproof Children. She's on episode 478, which was Name Amber's Boobs. I don't know if if we got enough submissions. I saw submissions. I don't know if any of them were accepted. Episode 507, Just Us for Trayvon. Episode 539, Kill the Kissing Cam. Episode 575, which is just called Slavey. not sure where the title came from.
It came from something we talked about.
Episode 601, Stop and Kiss. Episode 624, Fire in the Hole. Oh yeah, I remember that. That's when I ate that ghost pepper sauce.
Yes, yeah.
That was a terrible experience. Yeah. Episode 758, Hard Crack Life, where we talked about Rob Ford. Episode 898, The Big Chop, where Karen cut all her hair off.
Yes.
And she was also on All Season Reviews number 10, where she and I reviewed Daredevil. So without any further ado, it's our girl Amber from the Black Sexy Geeky and Mental Podcast and also Black Chick Watching Podcast. What's going on?
Hey, cool kids.
Hey, man. Glad you can make it.
Ditto. Ask me where I was 12 hours ago.
Where were you 12 hours ago?
The hospital.
Oh, man.
What happened, sweetie?
Are you all right?
Yeah, make a big deal about me. So here's what had happened. Monday was feeling not so great, and I had a tummy situation, and I was like, oh, maybe this is food poisoning or something. It'll go away. I'll throw up and go away tonight. But I didn't throw up, and it didn't go away that night. And then the next day, I was still feeling kind of funky, and I took the pink stuff, and I threw it up twice. And then I couldn't even drink water. So I went to the hospital and my mom went with me and, it was like a whole thing. They tried to start an IV and I was like, I have a thing with needles. And I was like, okay, so I need you to send in the best person because I've given blood and told them, send me the best person. Right. And they send me a random person. And a lady had to leave the needle in my arm and go, Cheryl, can you please finish this? Like, it's a whole thing.
Right. I feel you.
So she took out the needle and like, I have a whole process. When I go, I know what to say. I was like, can you please use a butterfly needle? Like, I know myself. Right. I know how this works. And so, I'm a big girl every time, but she took it out and she was going to have to start an IV. Yeah, I was that far gone, right? IV. Woo. So anyhow, she takes it out and it's huge. It's like as long as like a really tall person's middle finger. It was terrible. And it was like as wide as like a straw. It was horrible. And right. I was like, okay, let's do this. So I was like, I can't do this. And eventually, see, here's the thing. We get spoiled because the nurses on TV, they're all cuddly. Real nurses are not cuddly. God love you. You're doing your job. But she was like, how about I come back? And I was like, no, let me just take a second. Then I start crying. Like a baby. And not just crying, but the type of crying where you put like the back of your hand against your eyes to wipe the tears like a little kid.
That's pretty
it
bad.
Was horrible. And my mom started crying and I was like, I'm gonna need a minute. And then because so she went away, and then my mom's like, just calm down, you want to listen to some music? Woman, don't you know me? I listen to podcasts. So I have this track list, yeah. And just go to things on the internet when I want to feel better. And one of my go to's is the episode of Where's My 40 Acres, where you, Rod, were on when they were talking about Catfish, the episode with Raffinée. And yeah. So I yes. listened to all of that to calm myself down, and I started laughing. And then when she came back, I was a big girl, and she gave me the IV. And then they gave me some drugs, and then they gave me some more drugs, and then they're like, okay, we have another drug, but it might make you jittery, and I have bipolar disorder, so of course it made me jittery. And they were like, we'll give you some Benadryl to help calm you down so you'll, you know, so you'll sleep and stuff. And it was like 3 a.m, so I was like, that's cool with me. And so they gave it to me, and I was all jittery, and I was like, I don't want to sit still. And then they gave me some more Benadryl, and I was good. I was texting my lover, and well, current lover, and I was texting him, and I was like, meds are making me loopy. I don't know what it really said, but yeah, it was a whole thing. And then I fell asleep, and then I woke up, and she gave me some prescription, and then I came home, and then I talked to you guys.
Wow,
a whole adventure.
Thank you for being on the show. I mean, that's a whole ordeal,
right?
Sorry you're in the hospital. How are you feeling though?
Well, I can't run a marathon, because I sure could have before, but, I'm feeling okay. I mean, not back to my normal self, but I'm fine. I've kept down food.
Okay. And this was all from eating Chipotle or no?
Yeah. I have no idea. I almost don't want to know. I'm sure it would gross me out. So I don't know.
Maybe you're pregnant, man. Maybe it's a baby.
That was, let me tell you something. It was one of those things.
They normally always test you for that. Number one, when you come in.
So I go in and I was like, I don't want my mom to be in here because I watch enough of these hospital shows and I'm waiting for them to be like, you know, how many gangbangs have you done? And I'd be like, well, you mean so far today? Stuff like that. And but she was there. They're like, can you, I'm glad they didn't ask about my sex life. They're like, could you be pregnant? I was like, no. Is it humanly possible? No, not at all. Mm. Now, if my mom weren't there, the real answer would be, well, I have an intrauterine device, right, and I had my period a week and a half ago. That's what I would have said, but I don't want my mom to think that I have sex. So, I don't care if I'm a grown-ass woman. She needs to think I'm a virgin. We're right. just going to have that type of relationship forever. And so, yeah. So I'm pretty sure I'm not pregnant. And no, I'm not. I had my period a week and a half ago. So, yeah. So anyhow, yeah.
That's got to be probably the like most underrated part of male privilege is when I get sick, I've never thought, could I be pregnant?
Yeah, that's, you know, like the number one thing. A lot of times whenever you go in, that's like the number one thing they test you for.
I know. Right? I remember when you passed out from dehydration. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to the thing and they were like, now we gave her a pregnancy test. I was like, for what? And I was like, oh, they were like, well, sometimes people have adverse effects and, you know, like some people pass out. And it's like, so then I'm just like, yeah, I hope they don't just come up in here and be like, well, here's the good news. Nothing's wrong with her except she's pregnant. Y'all gotta have this baby and take care of it. All right.
Guys. But you know what? That happens to a lot of people. And it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of times you might not realize you're pregnant until you pass out, you right. know? So,
I mean,
like,
you know, they got a whole show based off of like, I went to take a shit and the baby came out, you know?
Right. Because I did not know I was pregnant. And as weird as that may sound, yeah. The body can do a marvelous stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like for men, that's just something I would never I would never worry about it. Right. But women probably worry about that like all the time, you know?
Right. Cause I would think there would be something wrong if I showed up. They're like, ma'am, we need to talk to you. We ran the pregnancy test and it's positive. What?
Right.
You might need to run that again.
I'd be freaking out if my period was like 10 minutes late.
You don't know.
Be waiting on that shit like a bus. Like, what the fuck, man?
And then don't be like me. I had one of them irregular periods, and I'm not talking about them miss a week or two. I'm talking about like we go months, and then it show up. Then you go. So I was never prepared and never ready. It was just like, "Hello, bitch, I'm here," and I'm like, "Okay, I wish you would have warned me. I'd have baked the cake or some shit." you know, and you know, for your arrival. So for me, it was just like, oh.
Well, yes,
and before we move on, I want to let you know, Amber, I understand the needle thing because I don't have rolling veins or moving veins. You know, the veins that kind of rotate around, but I do have really, really small veins.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
And it's one of those things where you know yourself. And when I go, it's kind of like, it's similar kind of an ordeal. And I think one time I scared a nurse to death one time because I'm like you. I know my body. So if I specifically give you instructions, I'm giving you these instructions for both our safety. Mm-hmm. And I since I have small needles, I'm tired of getting poked. And like, if your needle's too big, sometimes people have to poke you several times and use both arms. They've used my wrist. they've used like veins in my feet. Like they've used Jesus a lot of different veins because my veins are so small that it's hard to draw blood. And so I already knew this going in. And one time this nurse came in and she was like, put like this. I can tell an experienced nurse from an inexperienced nurse from the way you hold my arm. Because I had this one lady, I remember when I was in college, I gave blood. And this one lady, she was an old black lady. She took my arm and she rubbed her hand up and down and then she felt it. And she was like, oh, baby, there's a vein. She boop and she drew my blood. No problem. Everybody else, we want to take that thing, wrap it around, squeeze your arm to death. I don't see nothing. Look, bitch, I don't got veins that look like roads. So we going to have problems here. And when the nurse I'm about to tell you about, when she took my blood, I told her use butterfly needle. She opted not to. And that was and that was error number one. Because I was like, look, bitch, my veins are small. You know, I'm saving you the trouble. And so then she poked me and she didn't get a vein because my veins were small. And so then she had to turn around and poke me again. And then she poked me one more time. And by the time she got to number three, I said, if you don't take your motherfucking hands off of me, we gonna have problems. You need to get somebody in here that knows what they're doing or it's me and you are about to brawl right now. Let me go. You're causing me a lot of pain. Because then what she did, she took the needle and then she moved it trying to get the vein. And it took everything in me not to just knock her the fuck out. Because I was like, okay, you're causing me unnecessary pain because you don't know what you're doing. I'm not getting a pig. You better get somebody in here with experience. I'm sorry, nurses. Get somebody in here with experience. Cause I wasn't the one. And I know my nose was wide and my eyes was bulging out my head. And she knew I was serious. And she ran out. And I didn't care. She was causing me pain.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And that's why I don't want no kids. Cause they draw a lot of blood when you're pregnant. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to needles and stuff as a man, I don't have the luxury of being able to be scared of them and stuff and cry. So you gotta tough up, man. Cause if you do that shit, they'll probably laugh at you when you leave. If a dude came in there and was like, I'm scared of needles and I got a thing, they'd be like, come on, man.
But you know what? I've talked to people and they've said they've literally had people pass out when they tell them that they have to take blood.
That's probably how you find out that men are scared of needles is it has to get that bad.
Right,
it has to be something he can't hide. Cause I know I just be like, I'm a man. Like I psych myself up. Like you stick me with a knife, motherfucker. I don't care. Get this blood how you get it. You know what I mean? But really I'd be like, ah, this hurt. You know?
Yeah. Inside. But I think for me, personally, if I specifically give you instructions on how not to cause me pain and then you ignore that like that's when I have a problem. And then when I was dehydrated, that was the worst because I did not realize when you're dehydrated your veins kind of shrivel up. So it was like really hurt then. But yeah, because like I said, I go in, I tell them real quickly, hey, you go ahead and use that smile needle. Don't even waste your time.
Man, that's the thing. I'm lucky though that I don't have a fear of needles, not since I was like a child. And then also,
must be nice.
Yeah. And I have like a very high pain tolerance, which is good and bad. But on the good side, you know, it's like once the needle's in, I'm good. Like, stick that bad boy in. I'm like, go ahead, do what you gotta do. Like, it took so long for them to get my blood last week. I was just like, all right, well, I think she thought I was gonna be she couldn't find a vein, really. She, like, right. I knew what it was when she was looking at my arm. I was like, you don't know.
Right.
Cause, the dude that did it before, he was like, bam, we got one right here.
Come yeah,
on.
Like that dude, he's really good. I know which dude you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's really good, and he'll like give you a little ball and have you squeeze it and kind of pat around, and you can tell the ones that's kind of inexperienced or like they're going by the textbook. It's like, I got to see the vein.
Well, it's not her thing, but it's cool, you know, whatever. I just, you know, it took a while, and I just, you know, manned up. I was just like, go ahead and just, I know this is gonna take a while. She tried to make small talk, but like, you could tell it was going slow because her small talk was running out. She's like, yeah, crazy weather. I was like, we did the weather a couple minutes ago. It's cool. Like, I'm not mad. She was like, yeah. And plus I think people do treat people like shit, in general, like either customer service people or people, you know, someone taking your blood or whatever. I think people treat them so bad because every time I talk to people like that, they always act like they expect me to flip the fuck out.
And you know, I, with the exception of that lady, I am normally very, very pleasant. All jokes aside, because I know that their job is hard.
Yeah.
My thing is, don't cause me any unnecessary pain.
I'm not even pointing fingers. I'm just saying the way they react, it's obvious that other people have had, like, whatever the bad experiences at that job are, is fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause like, I was just like, yeah, I'm fine, it's cool, take your time. And then she's just like, I know it's taking a while. I was like, it's cool.
Right,
like, is Ike Turner or Joe Jackson? Is Joe Jackson in the closet? Is he like, is he gonna make sure that you do this right? It's fine. Yeah. You know, it'll take me what, 2 extra minutes in here than it would have taken me. Right,
it's almost like that customer service type of thing, right, where people, they don't know how to respond to you. And I think for me, I've had the same thing where one of the people took my blood, and then not only my veins are small, I was cold. And when you're cold, your blood don't move fast. So once they find the vein, and what was hilarious with that, it was like, like, it was barely moving. They was like, we need to warm you up, baby. I said, we need to do some ourselves. We gonna be here all goddamn day.
Right. Well, at any rate, you know, that's some very different experiences giving blood. all right. What I wanted to say is Amber has 2 podcasts. All right. The first one is Black Sexy Geeky and Mental. How's that one going, first of all?
Cool. I don't care about that one, no how.
Oh, okay, all right.
My hit podcast, Black Chick Watching, that's like it.
I saw you were trending on Twitter a little, had some hashtags going.
Yeah, no big deal or anything. Gosh, stop gushing about it.
You were speaking at a conference the other day.
Yeah, let's not name it.
Let's not name it.
I've got issues. But, I was at a sci-fi convention and, I did some panels, and one of them was Black Chick Watching, and it went super well, and people loved it, and it was just so great, and it was just wonderful.
That's dope, man. That was
for you, sweetie.
I remember when you were trying to field ideas for like what to do or whatnot, and I was just like, you already doing it, dog?
Right.
Like, you know, that shit ain't even. I mean, it's work, obviously, but it's not even like work. Cause you always would be thinking like that, whether you had a podcast or not, you'd still be seeing it that way. So that's super dope, man. What kind of things, put it this way. What is your favorite thing you've covered so far on Black Chick Watching?
I really like talking about like Sarah Bartman and Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. That was a really personal good thing. And I feel like a lot of the things that I have issues with, that's at the core of it. And I think it's just because of where I am in my life, because there's so many other things that there are issues with women and our portrayal in media, but when it comes to sex and sexuality and stuff like that, it strikes a nerve with me. And so also I've been opening my eyes to the concept of Black love, and like with all this stuff I say and all the carrying on, I still am on that white dick. and also, all the 3 main, you know, bad bitches of TV, Black chicks right now, on their shows are all with white dudes. Mm. And it's like, huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting that I've like, where are the black families? Where's the black love? And Blackish, because Empire is dysfunctional, Blackish is really pretty much, I mean, being Mary Jane has stuff too, has, you know, but herself, she's just, oh, I love that show, but I can't stand her. Just like Olivia Pope. I'm so done with Olivia Pope, but I love that show.
She is the worst. I'm all caught up now, even after swearing it off. I can't quit it. I just, I don't know. I can't quit her. But yeah, she's a terrible person.
She is, though. She is.
She's just bad at everything. I think I just like it at this point because, one, it's something I could talk to my mom about because she watches it. Mm-hmm. And then, two, I get to keep up with, you know, all my fellow watchers. You know, like, so many black women watch that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't help but want to talk about the shit they talking about. So, I have to know. But, but I will say this, as a black man, when I watch those shows, like, part of me is always kind of rooting for black love. Can't help it. Root for the home team sometimes. But at the same time, I think a lot of, the white male leads that end up being the love interest is kind of like this, almost like fantasy thing of being like, well, you're so coveted, like the most powerful men want to be with you, you know, these, mm-hmm. you know, like these men have quote unquote options, but they still mm-hmm. know you the baddest bitch on the planet. So they'll mm-hmm. go to war to fuck with you. You know, they'll, you know, risk everything. You know, this guy's a law professor, but he's, you know, he knows not to cross you and he knows that where to, who to come home to at night. And, I think it's part of the whole, like, it, whoever's writing the show would probably write the love part like that. Like, Tony Soprano can be a big fat piece of shit, but mm-hmm. he's always gonna have the baddest mistress, right? Mm-hmm. You know, cause
it's Uma.
Right. It's written from that perspective. So to me, you know, I think it's kind of like true equality almost. And especially with Shonda Rhimes' characters, cause I like that her characters are very flawed mm-hmm. and not good people.
Yeah.
Because yeah. we root for not good people all the time. I don't know why when it comes to black women, suddenly it's bad because they're not good people, quote unquote. Like Walter White was never a good person. Mm-hmm. Neither Tony Soprano's never a good person. You know, like so many of these dramas have leads where we're like, yeah, we're about to watch a white man sell drugs or be a mob boss or, you know, be a serial killer like Dexter, and we just never have these qualifications where, you know, he can't be cheating, or, you know,
they have to be perfect.
Yeah, the other day he took a shortcut at work. He's, you know, he's, I don't want to watch this show anymore, but we definitely do that to black female leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the standards are ridiculous because it's a lot of I guess people bring their own personal issues with black women whenever they watch these shows, when they mm-hmm. don't, whenever they watch the shows and the leads are white or even other brown people. Black people for some reason act like blacks are the only minority. There's other brown people out there, y'all, but for some reason we kind of only focus on us to mm-hmm. an extent, and we only put ridiculous standards on us and the things that we do. And I think whenever I watch these shows, I just want to watch a good written character.
Right.
No matter what, they could be flawed, they could be fucked up, they can cheat, they can kill, they can murder. Why? Because we watch white men do this all the time, and they do not get criticized for leaving their wives or having extramarital affairs. But you know, for some reason, when it comes to women, period, but particularly black women, you have a lot of people who get on their high horses and they want to chastise or talk shit about anybody that watch these shows with the lead, particularly if she's a black lead, isn't perfect. What do you mean she's having an affair? Oh, that other whore. What do you mean she's doing this? What do you mean she's doing that? It's like, like you said with Sopranos, where, you know, did anybody write all these think pieces about that back in the day? You know,
there's also this other element where it's a drama,
right?
So for it to be a drama, typically the connection between the romantic partners is going to be flawed, and people don't really want to see that shit either. It's like, if two black people are together, they better be like the least dramatic, have each other's back every week, no arguments, no one's ever wrong couple, or else every day every week people are gonna be like, you know, she was wrong to bring up that bullshit, or he was wrong to do this. It's like, well, if you kind of take that out of the equation and you have like mixed race partnerships, then all of a sudden it's like, oh well, I'm rooting against everybody anyway, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want these motherfuckers to be together at all. But when it's black, it's like, it can't just be black, right? It's gotta be perfection, because you still have, you know, like Blackish, you still have Empire, where those couples are together but they present their flaws as part of the storylines every week,
right?
And people go, that's bad too. Like, they really want Cliff and Claire Huxtable over, right, and over and over again, and for blackness.
And I don't, and I'm gonna tell you right now, they don't either, because the ratings show they don't. Let's right. just keep that real. As much as people want to come out and fry everybody on Facebook for watching Empire and fry everybody, you know, for watching Scandal and all this shit, if push come to shove and they gave you what you really want, let's see what those ratings would be. They would be really, really low, so you really don't want it. You're just talking.
Well, I also enjoyed your interview with Frangela.
Oh, you mean the famous people I had on my hit podcast, Black Chick Watching? Cool, thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah,
it was pretty dope, man. Me and Karen listened to it in the car. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, and for the record, I was not very familiar with them. So it was like you were the famous person in the conversation to me. But they were so funny, and
they were,
and so quick, and like, and then obviously, as you guys highlighted all the things that they are that they do, I was like, oh okay, so they are famous,
they do a lot.
But that was a great interview, man. Are you planning on doing more like interview style shows, or is that just like a special one-off thing?
No, I want to. I've sent out some feelers and I got some more people in mind, so you know.
Dope.
It's gonna happen.
Oh man. Now what kind of feedback are you getting on Black Chick Watching?
It's been good. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's been good. I've gotten some nice ratings, except for this one bitch who said that they didn't like the show because I act like my views are more controversial than they really are. Because I'm me, right, I apologize a lot. And so I'll say things like, so I know people are going to have an issue with this, but, and she said, or he, whatever this dumb bitch is,
right,
was like, well, you know, I want to like this show, but it's so annoying. She's not as controversial. You know what's funny? Some people of some communities that I used to be a part of would always get on somebody's back about the things I apologize for ahead of time. And maybe I shouldn't. You know, maybe it's a thing. But it's, I'm just trying to mitigate things ahead of time and be like, okay, what I want to say is, shut up.
Right.
Okay? What I'd rather say is, feminists don't write me. Let me live is what I really want to say. But instead, I tiptoe around it and say, some people might have issues with my differing opinion. Da, 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 da. It's because I've gotten stuff about things.
Yeah, so, I think. So. And one of the reasons I think I gravitate towards you is because a lot of the way you think is in your head before it's out to the world. You know what I'm saying? So, like, as you're saying it, you're mitigating it. Then, like, you're already anticipating the response to what you're saying, even if it's hyperbolic. Like, even if the person yeah. isn't even thinking that shit.
Right.
In your mind, like, I see the angry person already forming, like, putting his hands on the keyboard and hitting send, and I already know what you're thinking. So let me stop now and go, all right, I know you're about to be upset, but this is how I feel about this. And maybe they aren't upset. 9 times out of 10, they won't be upset. But you know what I mean? But maybe you are talking to that one person.
Right.
You know, maybe that one person is upset and they are like, motherfucker. And then you're like, don't even send it because I already know what you're saying. And they're like, all right, I ain't gonna send it then.
And they push the keyboard away.
Yeah, maybe. So, I do that all the time. I do that in normal conversation as well, which is, I'm sure, a headache to a lot of people.
That could be good and bad.
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know what I am. I just talk, so.
Yeah, Karen just cleans it up after. Like, I remember one time we were in the movies and these Latino people came in and they were with the cleaning crew. Yeah, exactly. They were talking just like that. And they were, but now they came in to clean up and, you know, they obviously worked at the theater, and Karen just like, Hola, come on, stars, and all this shit. And I was like, Karen, that is extremely that's racist.
Yes, it was extremely racist.
And she's like, what? I speak Spanish, and I figured they did. And I was like, yeah, that's not how it works.
I told you. See, if I had that filter, we'd be good to go. Just like one day I seen a Chinese man running, and I asked him, was he delivering Chinese food?
She cracks herself up.
Yes, I do. But, he looked like he was the delivery man.
Yep. Highly racist.
Yes, I am.
So yeah, I prefer to live with the filter. Those are choices.
Yeah. I guess my filter was like, fuck it.
Between that and whatever Karen has, I'll take mine.
We got a middle ground somewhere.
Take my stuff.
But, yeah, that's what happened when the filter go to zero.
And also you're coming up on another anniversary here, right?
Yep, 4 years.
4 years.
Yep.
Seems like just yesterday I was listening to you talk about being out of, I believe you called it the loony bin. I did not.
Yes.
I was listening.
We can say that.
Yeah, I that's your word, not mine. I remember listening to that and being like, this is a very interesting person. Wonder what's going on. And being like, you did a lot of I could be back there any day. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You might not get an episode, motherfuckers.
Those days. I was like, is she okay? You know, yeah. She all right? I was concerned.
Right. I was tuning in every week like a reality show, man.
Me too. Like, I hope she come back.
Right. it's been 4 years, man. How you feeling about this 4 year run of just consistency?
It feels good. I'm in a good place. I like where the show is going. I am dealing with some stuff with the sex positive and feminist communities and just now kind of coming out of the closet as having issues with them. And I still think that I have a legitimate concern to be, but, it's only now that I've been, rolling things out a bit. Mm-hmm. So that's been a challenge and that's part of, it's part of my cowardice with that show, which is why it does what I want it to do. I have a little community. It's all I need and things are going real smoothly. And so when I meet new people, it's like, I don't need them getting on my ass about my issue, issues with different stuff.
Well, that's it's like you say, your personal journal, you know, mm-hmm. It's like writing your diary or something. Although we all are allowed to read it, you know, but you know, at the same time, it's kind of your process or whatever you're going through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, well, also, I did want to mention that this is the Blackout Tips, okay? If you've been listening for a while, like, what the fuck is this?
I know, what am I listening to?
Yes, it's a podcast that my wife and I do 5 days a week, and the motto of the show is Nothing's Wrong with Funny. You can find us at theblackouttips.com or on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search The Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews, and we'll come up. If you're a premium listener, then you can go back and listen to all those episodes I highlighted earlier, mm-hmm. and get you some extra Amber. Maybe this is your first time hearing Amber. It's been a while since we had her on.
Amber is everything.
And some of those episodes were absolutely like classics, like mm-hmm. people's. Some of those episodes were people's favorite episodes ever. So
yes,
I feel like that's a pretty tough catalog to beat right there.
That is, and I know that. I know Amber used to burlesque, and my goal is
she used to do burlesque.
Yes, what I say, she burlesque. I'm sorry, she used to do burlesque. My bad. And my goal is to see her perform one day.
There you go, Karen. Just randomly interrupting the intro. There yes, we go. Sir. So as I was saying, you can you can listen to this show all kinds of places. Leave us 5-star reviews, and we'll read them on Saturday. If we like them, if we do mm-hmm. not like them, we won't read them.
Nope.
And if they're less than 5 stars, then you have no chance in hell of us reading it. Mm-mm. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
And today marks day 399 that Bobby Shmurda is locked up in jail, and wow. His bail was just denied again yesterday.
Hot damn.
I know, man. 300. He's gonna be in jail 400 days.
That's a long time.
No trial, nothing. That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Just in there.
can't even get out on bail.
Right.
He made money for people, and they still were like, no.
Right. The company ain't even paying
it. Meanwhile, Bill Cosby's in jail for 2 minutes.
Right. He walked in the cell, sat down, and walked right out.
Also, today's show is sponsored, is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, let's talk about things, guys. I don't know if you noticed, but things have continued to happen.
Yes, they have.
And we talk about them here.
Okay.
The first thing is my man Ta-Nehisi Coates, a.k.a. The God, as Bill Monty Jones calls him, he wrote about Bernie Sanders and the Atlantic.com and said, why precisely is Bernie Sanders against reparations? The Vermont senator's political imagination is active against plutocracy, but why is it so limited against white supremacy? And he basically goes on, I won't read the whole thing because obviously it's long. It's Ta-Nehisi Coates. He basically goes on to say that, while Bernie Sanders is extremely radical, like he's, people consider him like a socialist even, like the left, the most left you can get. And he's about economic justice. And when you talk about race, people go, he marched Martin Luther King. So he's so racially progressive that like, how could you even question his commitment to civil rights and shit? So somebody asked him about, reparations for slavery, and his response was, no, I don't think so. First of all, its likelihood of getting through Congress is nil. Second of all, I think it would be very divisive. The real issue is when we look at the poverty rate among African American community, when we look at the high unemployment rate within the African American community, we have a lot of work to do. So I think that we should be talking about it. What we should be talking about is making massive investments in rebuilding our cities and creating millions of decent paying jobs and making public colleges and universities tuition free, basically targeting our federal resources to the areas where it is needed the most, and where it is needed the most is in impoverished communities, often African American and Latino. So once again, pivots to the economy. That's kind of his thing.
Yes, it is.
But it's kind of interesting because if you pay any attention to the debates, you pay any attention to his platform, pretty much everything he stands for is not getting through Congress.
Come on now.
Pretty much every single major platform that he's talking about is impossible to pass for him. Because he's such an outsider to the Democratic, like, platform, he doesn't have senators in his pocket. He doesn't have congressmen in his pocket. The Congress and Senate is majority Republican now anyway. He's not a transformative figure like Barack Obama, where not only did he get people out to vote for him in all those different states where these new voters came out, they also voted Democrats into office, right? Mm-hmm. And that only lasted for 2 to 4 years. It was not even like 2 years. It didn't even last for 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. Because the next time when it was time for everybody to run for the midterms, Barack Obama's not running. You know, so people right. were like, I'm staying home.
That, and they ran away from him.
I don't know if they ran away from him the first time. They definitely did the second time.
Right, the second time.
You know, but the point being, and some did, I'm sure. Right. But the point being, your thing is that you're a dreamer. You know, your thing is that you're pushing these non-compromising ideas. These things like, you know, rate tax increase on the rich. These things like free college for everybody and shit. And I'm not saying these are bad ideas, but they're just ideas. Mm-hmm. They don't like in like at least with Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, she has like the leverage from being within the system for so long that the proposals that she pushed forward, even if they're modest, kind of have this thing where you're like, okay, I can see how she could twist everybody's arm and make that happen. You know, it's not too big a dream, but it's a dream, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With Bernie just be like, hey man, we gonna fucking reverse the polar, like the polar poles of the world, and we just gonna flip this shit backwards and go back in time. Y'all with me? And everybody's like, yeah, that's a great idea. But that's impossible.
Right.
So it's like, and I understand what Ta-Nehisi Coates' point, which is like, if we're talking about impossibilities, why is the impossible gotta stop when niggas want some shit? Right. Why does impossible always stop with us? You know what I mean? Like, why, like, this won't even get through Congress. Man, none of your shit's getting through there. You might as well fuck with us then, dog. Like, at least lie. Like, can't you just lie like you lie to everybody else? What's wrong with that? You know, you talking about sending Wall Street to jail. They not gonna let that shit happen.
Mm-mm.
They own everybody. They about to be, he'll propose that shit and when, and everybody's gonna be like, yeah, okay. I would, but I have to play golf with that guy you want to put in jail. So, this is gonna be awkward.
Yep. So my vote is no.
But, yeah, Ta-Nehisi Coates been catching shit all day.
Wow.
Like, you look at his mentions on Twitter. Ooh, Lord, don't look at his mentions on Twitter. People are writing articles, he's reposting them. He tried to talk to Sanders directly before writing the article. And this is Ta-Nehisi Coates. He's somebody. It's not like me wanting to talk to Bernie Sanders.
Right.
They didn't respond. No, he gave him 3 days. So they definitely had a chance to respond. They just were like, fuck that.
Right.
And the fact that he would call it divisive, this idea of reparations, it's like a lot of your platforms are divisive. Being a socialist is considered divisive. Like, just that term, like, he embraces that term, like, I'm a socialist. Many, many, many people consider that to be divisive. Some people talk about the feasibility of reparations, which is a completely other conversation, but Ta-Nehisi Coates has written a very long, like, 63 pages worth of stuff about the case for reparations. It's called The Case for Reparations. I do suggest everybody read it. It's really good. And you won't end up saying stupid shit like, well, how you gonna do it? Because he actually highlights the how, the why, the feasibility, obviously. Like, he highlights the whole thing, but people were just solid. They see the word reparations and just have like a immediately like, what? Niggas gonna get something. That's crazy, you know?
Right,
so,
even though they pay other groups of peoples for their injustices.
Right, yeah, he highlights that.
Come on now.
So yeah, anyway, I just think it's a good read, and I think it's a good point, man, but it just kind of highlights the thing I've been saying about Sanders the whole time, is like, he's radical on the air in the areas that, like, economy wise and tax wise and redistribution of wealth wise, but I feel like he's clueless racially. So wasn't surprised to see the backlash that Ta-Nehisi Coates got for that. Speaking of the backlash, Steve Harvey's in the news, guys.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, you know, he had a little mistake at the Miss Universe pageant.
Happens.
As it you do. he actually had an interview with the lady he snubbed, Miss Columbia, and he apologized, you know, because he was he fucked up, and it's on him, and there was no other way to view that. Now it hasn't. The event airs next week. Apology.
Okay, so they recorded it.
Yeah, it's already been recorded, even though it's not out yet. But it will air next week. And, you know, he's already let, what's her name? Ariadna Gutierrez Arevalo. He's already let her know, my bad. Or, as Karen would say, me malo. Mm-hmm. yeah, he said, this caused me a lot of sleepless nights. Oh, wait, actually, can I play this? I think I might have the clip. Yeah,
Clip. I know your family's been very supportive of you during this whole mess, but what was the hardest part of this for you?
I could tell you some hard parts for me. My deeper concern was for the two women. It really was, because as bad as I felt, oh, my God, Miss Columbia, How could she possibly have felt? And my heart bled for her, and I haven't been able to talk to her since. That night, I went to bed at 12:30. I woke up at 2:30. I couldn't even sleep. But my girl got up with me, Marjorie, my wife. She got up with me. She was the best.
Stop. You're horrible. Stop it. You ain't right.
Hey, you got to have somebody with you. Somebody climbed down in a hole with you. And she did. But she kept telling me, Steve, keep your head up. Keep your head up. You did the right thing. She kept saying, you did what your father raised you to be. You went out there and you took the hit. And then, you know, my kids, man, people don't understand the damage of social media. You know, your kids go through this. Your wife go through this. Everybody. You know, death threats against your family. I can't let my kids go nowhere.
Really?
That's difficult,
oh, yeah,
man.
Was
that's
mad.
Very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. But as difficult as it was for me, it was really funny, man, because the reason I didn't do any interviews or anything, because I wanted to talk to the women first. Because regardless as to how I felt, I was still stuck on them two women. I really was, man, because I got daughters.
Very good, very good.
Oh, yeah, he was caught all types of racial slurs and everything else. Jeez.
Listen, whatever my issues are with him, Lika Ricci and Consuela need to calm themselves down. Okay, she didn't win. Sucks to be her. Cool your jets. Keep our names out of mouths.
I love how that became all about him. even though it's about how he really fucked up her night. And
yes.
he was like, I couldn't sleep. I mean,
he was restless.
I got up. My wife got up with me.
Went down the hole.
Yeah, he almost started crying too. That's why I started laughing, because yeah.
I know
Steve.
It is.
Steve out here about to cry, man. Come on, dog.
He's a crier.
He is. I don't watch enough of his stuff to know that he cries a lot.
Yeah, he's
a
crier.
Man, to be so hurtful to women, I'm surprised he cries that much. He's so bad. Oh, Steve. But we all forgive him. We joke here. in good news, coming out of Hollywood, Ava DuVernay, who you guys may know as a director of Selma, she has partnered Array Films Distribution Collective with Indiegogo, because they want to try to get some black women filmmakers and filmmakers of color get their movies made and get them out to everybody.
Good.
Yep. They'll officially launch at the 5th annual Array Soiree at this year's Sundance Film Festival, where DuVernay and Indiegogo co-founder Danae Ring will host 50 industry influencers, executives, and creators for a discussion on the present state of diversity in film, as well as brainstorming ideas for the future. Yeah, shout out to, you know, all the people that go get your own and all this shit. People already got their own. Go support those people.
Yep. You know, they're out there and most people either waiting on the same mainstream they complain about to tell them about these people, or they don't look.
And it's gonna take, honestly, it's not like white people aren't gonna come up with the thing that helps black people and black women get their voices out there. It's gonna be some black person, because that's kind of historically how it always is. Now, some people might want to help, some people might want to get out of the way or whatever, but in general, it's always gonna be someone black who's seen how these things work that goes, here's how we open the door for everybody else. And Ava's dedicated to doing that. It feels like everything I read about her is her putting on other people and shit. I'm like, when are you gonna make your other film? Like, are you like
she might be making it, you know?
Yeah, well, she is, because she'll tweet like, I'm scouting for locations all day today, and I'm like, okay, cool. Sometimes she does other things besides, you know, put on for the whole race, man. But she's always looking out for people, and I just thought that was a major thing. And you know, it takes years to make a film. But I can't wait to see what she comes out with, because Two films they already got were Yonder and the Spirit Award nominated Out of My Hand, which are currently streaming on Netflix. So anyway, looking forward to that, man. Go Ava. Love her.
Me too.
All right. Other news.
I want them to come out with another Barbie doll so I can buy one.
Oh yeah. That Ava Barbie doll sold out in like 10 seconds.
Fuck you, Mattel.
In other news, let's talk about some people. Speaking of women that, that people support, Lena Dunham.
Oh, this bitch here.
Is not so sure about Hillary Clinton.
Who cares?
Right.
All the people that watch Girls. Lena Dunham apparently, you know, because it was like, I don't know, maybe a month ago that she started going full Hillary. Like, she's on the campaign trail with Hillary Clinton. She, like, has Hillary clothing and not, like, some cool swanky stuff. It's like, 100%. Like, she looks like Captain America, but with Hillary logos on her, is what I'm saying. I'll put a picture in the chat so you guys can see this silly-ass shit. But, like, she's a walking... what do you call those things? She's like a walking poster for Hillary Clinton. Let's see. How do I get this to post? All right, there we go. But she's like a walking billboard for Hillary Clinton, and she's just going around talking at these different rallies because obviously Hillary Clinton is the first, would be the first female president. And Lena Dunham is right in that wheelhouse of Hillary Clinton's fan base.
Oh, that's ugly.
That she wants to get.
I'm sorry.
So Karen just saw the Karen apparently just saw the image of the shirt. But yeah, so she apparently at an event where she this is like a couple months ago where people brought up, you know, hey, you at these Hillary Clinton campaign rallies, how can you call yourself a good feminist and fuck with Hillary Clinton?
Here we go.
The way Hillary Clinton has been treated is just more evidence of the fact that our country has so much hatred towards successful women, Ms. Dunham, the creator and star of the HBO series Girls, said at a campaign event in Manchester, New Hampshire. But at an Upper East Side dinner party a few months back, Ms. Dunham expressed more conflicted feelings. She told guests at the Park Avenue apartment of Richard Plepler, the chief executive of HBO, that she was disturbed by how in the 1990s the Clintons and their allies discredited women who said they had had sexual encounters with or been sexually assaulted by former President Bill Clinton. So it's not like, so basically months ago before she signed up, she definitely knew of these issues, but she decided to sign up with Hillary anyway. And now people are calling her on her shit, like, how can you do that, you know? Now she does have her own, you know, issues around that in her book with her sister, so there's, you know, there's been, she has her own issues around it, so maybe that's how she reconciles it. Or, you know, maybe she reconciles like, oh, it's your it's her husband, what she's supposed to do, I don't know. But Clinton has a whole stable of infamous behavior with women, Sandra Allen James, Juanita Broderick, Carolyn Moffitt, and Paula Jones, among others. Each of these women has claimed Clinton's husband either sexually assaulted them, James and Broderick and Moffitt, or harassed them, as Paula Jones did. In response, as Carl Bernstein of the Washington Post documented in his 2008 biography of the former First Lady Hillary Clinton, prosecuted a campaign to dig up dirt on anyone who accused Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct in hopes of discrediting them and preserving her and her husband's growing political power. Hillary Clinton never doubted that if the women and the enemies who used them succeeded or became too visible and credible, the whole edifice could come down, including their marriage. So what do y'all think about that, man, about Lena Dunham joining up with Hillary?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to leave the feminist stuff alone.
Okay.
Whatever. But I do get, you know, Lord help me, I'm about to, you know, be in the same boat as this chick. There is a weird thing of, like, I draw a hard line with Bill Cosby. I draw a hard line with R. Kelly. And yet there are some people who it's like I'm on the fence with certain stuff. Like, depending on who you ask, best case scenario, Ted Kennedy, contributed to a woman dying. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, people say he is directly the cause of her death. And yet, I'm in Massachusetts, and I'm very grateful to his legacy, and I think the world is a much, much better place with him in it. And it's like, well, technically, doesn't that mean I'm giving him a pass? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, with Bill Clinton, it's like, I think I purposely haven't done too much research into it, and it's like, well, technically, doesn't that mean I'm giving him a pass? Like, there are some things where it's like, I do feel kind of weird. Yeah. It does feel weird, but I don't know. I do have some hard lines, and I have some things that maybe I'm not super proud about, but like I said, I think that the world is much, much better with when Ted Kennedy was in it than if he had not been. But yeah, I get where she's coming from.
Yeah, Karen, what do you think about it?
I hate to be like this, but I don't care.
You don't care about what exactly?
I guess, for me, her supporting or not supporting isn't going to directly affect me.
Oh, you don't care about Lena Dunham.
Right.
What about President Clinton and his transgressions against women, and then, you know, now his wife's running and people want that to be a consideration against her? The fact that she was complicit in helping to silence these women back in the day.
That is a problem. And also, a lot of these things have been public for probably for a long time. People just didn't care. And it's one of those things where people just don't like them and that family. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where anything that they could pull up, they're going to try to pull up just to discredit her. And was she wrong? Yes. You know, were they both wrong? Yes. Should they be held accountable? Yes. But it's one of those things where she's running for office and it's like, I have to choose who I'm going to vote on based off of how I feel they're going to handle office. And she didn't do these things. Her husband did these things. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't. I don't know. Maybe there might be somebody there on record for her sexually harassing somebody or something.
No,
like that.
No, that's not what they're saying. She helped basically do PR campaigns against these women to, like, you know, to discredit them. But yeah, obviously she didn't. She wasn't complicit in the sexual assault or molestation or harassment of any of these women, but the general thinking, and I'm not sure what the proof is, but you know, it was in the Washington Post, but basically they're saying she helped to silence these women, though, which isn't far-fetched to believe. I don't think that's a stretch, I don't think it's far-fetched,
and I probably believe that she did do that.
Yeah.
And I think that but she'll never do this. I think that is something that, you know, if you quote unquote want some of these things to go away, it's something that needs to be acknowledged, you know, on a public platform and say, look, this was wrong, you know, and my actions can't be justified, but moving forward, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, you're talking about politicians, so you'll never get that from her.
Yeah. You know what bothers me about all this shit? It only comes up as a attack on Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. and his infidelity, and not as a sexual predator, which is very weird. Like, it came up in the debate the other night.
That's a good point.
Correct.
Like, it came up in the debate the other night, and they were basically saying, like, well, Bernie Sanders, you're on record as saying that you find his behavior disgusting. But they didn't want to, like, specifically say, and rapey, like, they wanted to be like disgusting because he can't keep his dick in his pants, but like, that it goes beyond that. you know, and it wasn't even in the frame. They weren't even framing it like, because it really, it should be a question to Hillary. It shouldn't be a question to Bernie.
Correct.
And the question should be, how can you call yourself an ally of Planned Parenthood? How can you call yourself a feminist? How can you call yourself, you know, a person who defends women and rectify having this motherfucker on your arm like he ain't shit? And not just because he's cheating, but like, this is sexual assault. It, like, the allegations rise to that level.
Right.
How do you reconcile that?
And that's a valid question.
And I'm sure she won't have a great answer for that, because there is no fucking great answer for that.
No, there's not.
I mean, you would need a time machine and a divorce to be able to fucking fix that problem. But the thing is, they're not even asking it that way. It's only coming up as, like, a political issue to be like, yo, man, be cheating. And that's it. So it's really fucking weird, you know?
And it's weird in this instance how woman is held accountable for the man actions. But if it was the other way around, he would be, if he was running and she, you know, was vice president and had, you know, this was her, did it, not at one period of time when anybody asked him the same questions about her.
Yeah. And also the way that it's being asked is a favor to her, because you get to pull the I'm being loyal to my husband card, which a lot of people consider a good quality. Like,
right. That's not always
most
good,
Americans, yeah. whether you know, obviously it's not always good, but mm-mm. most Americans consider this loyalty to your spouse to be a positive thing. So like, she gets to spin it as I'm just a good wife, you know, I forgave him, he ain't did shit since, y'all ain't heard no more problems, we good, our marriage is stable. And that's a favor to her, you know. It's kind of like when Michelle Obama said that it was the first time she was really proud of the country, was when I think Barack got when he won the primary, or maybe when he got elected, one of those
when
two
he got elected.
And people tried to bring it up to him, and it's like, well, that's easy for him to answer. He's like, I love my wife, what the fuck you want me to say? Like,
right.
She wrong, like, fuck you, like, and everybody can understand the impulse of him being like, nah, I'm not saying anything bad about my wife, that's Michelle, and I agree with her there. So like, I think they really do her a favor by bringing it up in this context. But it would have been cool if somebody would have asked it the other way and been like, how do you reconcile this shit? Because I mean, they asked Lena Dunham this basically.
Mm-hmm. But she's not even running.
Yeah, but they would never ask Hillary that directly. It's weird.
No, because nobody. It's sad, but it's one of them things where, put like this, if they didn't feel like she was quote unquote going to win or some shit like that, they would have asked her. You know, it's one of those things where they kind of pick and choose who they ask and what they ask and how they ask. Like, questions are strategically placed. And it's one of those things where it's sad that we're living in a day where you have these debates and people are watching these debates and y'all are not really asking, like, I'm not trying to be funny, real questions. Mm-hmm. Or either, like, with the Republican debate, you got the one black man on there. You be like, well, sir, how do you feel about them niggas picking cotton? What the fuck does that got to do with this goddamn debate? It's like they're not really asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
No problem. And like I said, with her, I don't know. She ain't my cup of tea.
Yeah, I know. I'm writing in Michelle Obama. I don't give a fuck. And no, mama can't get mad because I actually went to the polls.
my mama can't get mad.
She always be like, you got to go out and vote. I'm like, I did for Michelle. And you can't get mad at that vote? Mm-hmm. Who here wouldn't want Michelle Obama to be president? Yeah. I dare you.
Well, she would run.
Only Michelle. Michelle's like, I don't want to be president.
she like, wouldn't be surprised me if she never runs.
Michelle like, of this shit?
No. Yeah,
can I get some time off?
Right.
I would vote for Michelle Obama so fast.
What? She would have all my votes.
She can just show up in a dress and be like, I'm still black. And I'd be like, you have my vote. I don't care. Plus, you know she ain't going to lose no motherfucking debates. It's impossible. Sarah Palin.
Jesus.
Speaking of thugs. Sarah Palin said her
thug life.
She said her thug ass son was arrested because President Obama doesn't care about veterans.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Man.
Not that her son was brawling, right?
Not that he
was showing his ass.
It wasn't the domestic violence, Karen. I know that's what you're thinking, but Sarah has another take on it for you.
Bringing new battles with them. are wounded warriors, sometimes in body and in mind, coming back different than when they left for the war zone. I can talk personally about this. I guess it's kind of the elephant in the room, because my own family, going through what we're going through today, with my son, a combat vet, having served in a striker brigade, fighting for you all, America, in the war zone. But my son, like so many others, they come back a bit different. They come back hardened. They come back wondering if there is that respect for what it is that their fellow soldiers and airmen and every other of the military so sacrificially have given to this country. And that starts from that the top. It's a shame that our military personnel even have to wonder if they have to question if they're respected anymore. It's
yeah, man, if the president wasn't so anti-veteran, her son wouldn't have hit that girl in the face and got arrested the other day.
She just can't do. She needs parenting classes. Her thought daughter, her abusive ass son.
Told you they out here thugging, man. I'm trying to tell you, if this was a black family, we would never hit a goddamn end of it.
Yeah, you couldn't name your kids Track and Trip and Track the Trailer and shit like that if you were a black family, for sure.
I told you, apple, peaches, and oranges is out there doing this fuck-ass bullshit. It's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
That's why I say leave Will and Jada kids alone.
According to the police report, Track Palin, she retrieved the phone and went inside the house. Palin was already inside, holding on to a gun, yelling, "Do you think I'm a pussy? Do you think I won't do it?"
Jesus.
Stated Palin, he cocked the gun and was holding a rifle out next to him with his right hand near the trigger and his left hand near the barrel, with the barrel just away from his face, pointed to the side. He apparently also punched her in the face. Let's see. Yeah, they left a different residence together. They were arguing the whole way. Once they got to his home, they argued in the car, then in the driveway. They were screaming. He was calling her names. She told Palin that she called the cops, even though she had not, in an attempt to calm him down, to scare him away from touching her. Palin approached and struck her on the left side of her head near her eye with a closed fist. She got on the ground in a fetal position because she didn't know what else he would do. Palin then kicked her on the right knee. Her phone was sitting on the ground in front of her. Palin took the phone, threw it across the driveway. She retrieved the phone and went inside the house. Palin was already inside, holding onto a gun, doing that part I was just telling you about. He cocked the gun, was holding the rifle next to him with his right hand near the trigger and his left hand near the barrel, and the barrel just away from his face, pointed to the side. She was concerned that he would shoot himself, ran outside around the house. She didn't see where Palin went, so she went inside and up the stairs, where she hid under a bed. Shortly after, she heard Palin walk around inside looking for her. Palin left after not locating her. Also, they noted injuries to her face. She had bruises and swelling around her left eye. She complained of pain to the area as well as to her right knee. And they observed a red area near her knee. And they found an unloaded AR-15 rifle in the kitchen on the counter. Of course, he posted his $1,500 bail because, hey, he's no Bobby Shmurda. He's out. And he's doing court February 19th.
Mm-hmm. I hope he get all the charges.
But it's Barack Obama's fault, Karen. Don't you understand?
Nah, it's the Congress fault who keep cutting funding for veterans so that they don't get the help that they need when they come back.
It must be amazing to be that stupid. You know what I mean? To be one of her supporters, that's so dumb.
And that all someone has to run.
All they have to do is, all she has to do is show up and be like, Barack Obama, boo, and then they just like, oh my God, I agree with everything you just said. Like,
because you're hotter than my mom.
You're hotter than my mom. My daughter just had a baby out of wedlock, but she's an abstinence speaker. But Barack Obama, am I right? And they was like, she has a point. And Barack Obama does, that is a thing he would do. Let's talk about the Oscars, speaking of black chick watching.
Okay.
Now, we talked yesterday about Janet Hubert and versus the Smiths. Mm-hmm. Now you were in the hospital. Did you get to see any of that drama?
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
I'm with Aunt Viv on this, and it is so disrespectful to call her that. She has a name. Mm. So Aunt Viv, I think she was totally right. I saw where she was coming from. I sort of don't like it when people get sidetracked into the whole somebody has an issue with a thing, and it's like, but there's still poverty. And it's like, well, I mean, I get it. These are two different conversations. But when she was talking about, when she kept it towards, well, there is, you know, actors out there are trying to make their rent or whatever. They got mortgages to pay and they live in big mansions and have to, like, that I understood. But when she was like, we're dying in the streets, it's like, well, I mean, let's stay on track. But I was with her. I understood. Jada, oh, Jesus. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. But yeah, I was here for what she was saying. Even me, I'm like, don't boycott them. Like, ugh. I don't know. That's my thing.
All right, we did a whole thing on it yesterday. People were still listening to it, but I think Viv was wrong. Because she lied.
Right, like, she had no facts.
Yeah, I went and Googled it because I thought the accusations were so slanderous. Like, it's like when you say certain type of shit, you know how, like, you say something, you're like, ooh, that better be true. Because is that damning? Like, right. 'Cause what she said it with such conviction and such, like, old black lady sassiness that I was thinking, like, if this is true, then that's pretty much it for black people fucking with the Smiths at all. But they're very conscious. They give back. They just gave $150,000 last year to the Justice or Else event that was held in Washington, D.C. They were the most, one of the top 20 charitable couples in Hollywood. This is just in, like, 2012. They have their own foundation that gives back to inner city kids and youth. They have their own production company where they produce movies that star many African Americans, not just their friends or family, as she put it. And then when I looked at Jada's video, she never urged anybody else to boycott or anything. She said, she said, I'm just asking the question, but maybe it's time we pull back our resources and start, you know, supporting our own events. Which I actually do agree with. I'm not saying they should boycott, but I agree with black people needing to support black shit. It kind of sucks when we have an event and certain celebrities will be at every MTV awards, but don't have a BET hip hop awards. Fuck that. That's ghetto. I don't need to be there.
Right.
And it's like, well, it wouldn't be quote unquote ghetto if all y'all motherfuckers showed up like y'all do for other shit, then it would be star-studded an event, right? And I don't think it's an unfair question to ask. Now, Janet definitely had a point about resources, and I think you tapped on that immediately, and that was, like, the first thing I noticed, too, which is, yeah, everybody can't boycott, dog. You know what I mean? Like, as a rule, everybody doesn't have the resources to be able to even consider the shit that Jada does. But Jada does have those resources, so she can consider it for herself and her family and whoever else, you know? So I thought it really got misrepresented, and I really wish Janet wouldn't have lied, cause that really fucked up the whole message. Like, she could have just went in on some, like, fuck Will Smith from 20 years ago.
Right.
And I ain't got the money to be fucking boycotting. And it would have been a shorter video, but I would have got it. I would have been like, that's all true. What can you say? At any rate, though, it's branched out into other people's responses now, right? Mm-hmm. So now other actors and people who got snubbed and people who are black in Hollywood are giving their commentary. I think George Clooney spoke up yesterday. We talked about him. Now there's more people speaking up. Lupita Nyong'o.
Woo! Sorry, you mispronounced that. It's Oscar winner.
Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o. I apologize. You're absolutely right. Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o she spoke about it. She's joined David Oyelowo. I hope I pronounced that right. Oscar nominated, maybe, I don't remember. And George Clooney is speaking out about the Oscars, which for the second year in a row have produced an all-white slate of acting nominees. She says, "I am disappointed by the lack of inclusion in this year's Academy Awards nominations." She is the last black actor to win an Oscar, as in the most recent, but maybe the last ever. Who knows?
Lord, I hope not.
Who knows with these motherfuckers? It has me thinking about unconscious prejudice and what merits prestige in our culture. The awards should not dictate the terms of art in our modern society, but rather be a diverse reflection of the best of what our art has to offer today. I stand with my peers who are calling for change and expanding the stories that are told and the recognition of the people who tell them. So yeah, she dropped that hot fire, man. She not okay with this either. Let's see. Oh, Tyrese.
Oh, bless his tiny little brain.
Well, bless his brain, baby.
What happened with Tyrese?
Bless your brain. He tells Chris Rock to make a statement by stepping down as 2016 Academy Award host.
Shit. Oh, now my black ass, I'd have been out there telling them jokes. Fuck see, you.
And this is why it was fucked up what people did to Jada. Jada did not say this.
No.
She was treated as if she did.
Right.
Tyrese is saying this. People about to give him a pass like, oh, he's just dumb. Don't listen to him, baby.
Right. She didn't say that. She said she wished him luck. Yeah. She was like, she
basically said, I won't be watching or attending. Chris, I wish you luck.
Right.
To the head of the Oscars committee. Why do I always forget her fucking name? But the black lady. She basically said to her, and by the way, y'all gotta stop calling that lady a token, okay? Listen, she got a tough fucking job. Mm-hmm. And she is trying. Like, she actually did
slow process.
She actually did make strides to include more people. Now, they may have given her an impossible job, but it's not like she's lying down on the job and going, fuck it, man, I don't care. Like she basically had, now, she might end up quitting. Cause basically every year she gonna have to walk out and be like, they did it again.
Right. That will wear you out.
Right. Cause she can't make them vote.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's like you coming in trying to change the whole foundation of something. That's a very hard task. And you're coming in with years and years and years and years of how this ship has been ran. And the thing about a big ship, when you turn, it doesn't turn quickly. It is a slow turn, but it's turning though, and that's
the Titanic. Mm-hmm. That's how it happened.
And it's just one of those things where I think people think she's supposed to get in and everything is supposed to instantly change because she's black, and it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, or that she's not trying.
Right.
Which I just think her job's impossible. No offense to her. If she pulls it off, it'll be like hashtag black girl magic. Cause it'll really be like, yo, she pulled a magic trick to make them old white people start voting for black people. I don't know what she did. Like maybe she gonna go around to people's houses and kick some ass or something. Cause I can't imagine what you have to do. And we'll get to, cause I have like two more articles about this. We'll get to why her job's impossible. But anyway. Chris Rock, my man, Tyrese asked Chris Rock to step down. He said, do the right thing on Instagram.
Well, I have a question, dog.
Yes, Karen.
What happened if somebody told you do the right thing and not take that Transformers money?
Well.
Yeah.
Come on now. You either tell somebody else, don't take that check.
He didn't have a problem with Skids and Mud Flap. I ain't forgot, Tyrese.
Come on now.
Or you, Michael Bay. Anyway, sorry. make a statement. We're relying on you to do the right thing. There's no joke you can crack to ever change the way we all feel. Tyrese has remained vocal regarding the lack of diversity in this year's nominees, a crisis of representation that has sadly become all too familiar. This is modern day racism, Tyrese wrote. I don't seek your validation and I don't need your approval, but I won't sit down and sit on my hands and just let this all go down without speaking on it. Thankfully, several other actors and artists from every facet of the film industry have started speaking out in support of a boycott. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, that's Tyrese's take. Chris Rock should not. See, my thing is, like, I don't think you can speak for anybody else.
Right.
And especially not Tyrese. I mean, come on, you're Tyrese. But in general, I don't think anybody can tell anybody else what to do. You know, right. If you don't want to watch, you don't want to watch. If you do want to watch, it, like, I just, it feels weird because it feels like whenever something racist happens to black people, we always end up becoming not only the victims but also the people that are blamed for it. It's like, I can't be both, motherfucker. Like,
right,
y'all didn't pick me, now it's my fault. Like, what if y'all wouldn't go, you know, they'll start picking you. No, I don't think that's how it works.
That's not how it works. And the thing, what people realize, the thing about creating your own, you know what creating your own costs? Motherfucking money. Yeah. And resources that you got to have. Yeah. In order to do a lot of shit.
So yeah, remember when I said her job was impossible? The Academy members that they anonymously interviewed, I'll do a poll around the room. They think that they themselves are A, racist, or B, not racist. Karen?
They think they're not racist.
Okay, that was a quick answer. What about you, Amber?
Not racist, of course.
Man, you guys, wow, you guys answer that quick. You guys are, you both got it right. Mm-hmm. They find themselves to absolutely not be racist. Go ahead and give yourselves a round of applause. There you go. All right.
I know he's trying to find it. There you go.
Okay, now I won't stop. Stop. All right. That was weird. Anyway, congratulations to both of you guys. You both got it right.
Of course.
They find themselves to not be racist.
Give me the hard-hitting questions, sir.
The Academy members defend their Oscar votes. To imply we are racist is extremely offensive.
Yeah. Of course it is.
It's been a week. Well, racist, being called racist is the new racist. The R word is offensive, and you Negroes need to stop using it.
Jesus Christ.
It's been a week of uncomfortable conversations in Hollywood. While many agree the Academy's overwhelming white membership does not play a role in the type of films and performances that get Oscar attention, some white members privately express resentment over accusations of racism and failing to nominate a single non-white actor or annoyed Straight Outta Compton, a Best Picture candidate. And I'm reading this from the Hollywood Reporter, which is that same publication that had seven white women on the cover for the performances of the year. Yeah,
I'm looking at you. Yeah,
how many black people you think work at the Hollywood Reporter?
None. Cause yeah, fuck you. You have an article talking about, well, y'all, we looked, ain't no niggas out there. Oh shit, they ain't vote for no niggas. Why y'all ain't white? Why they are? Why now we gotta write an article about how y'all not diversifying? Fuck you.
Yeah, Room, which is everybody is, you know, it's in every category nominated, right? Made $5 million. That's it, guys. $5 million.
That's not no money.
Like, there had, but they couldn't find time to go see any black movies that had good performances in them.
Or they didn't care if they watched them, or they couldn't relate.
Penelope Ann Miller, best known for Carlito's Way and The Artist, is a member of the actors branch that could have nominated Creed's Michael B. Jordan's Concussion's Will Smith, or Hateful Eight Samuel Jackson, or Beast of No Nation's Idris Elba. I voted for a number of black performers and I was sorry they weren't nominated, she tells THR, but to imply that this is because all of us are racist is extremely offensive. I don't want to be lumped into a category of being a racist because I'm certainly not, and because I support and benefit from the talent of black people in this business. It was just an incredibly competitive year.
I don't believe you, ma'am.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Maybe you're not.
But overall as a collective group, yes.
Yeah, maybe you yourself are not a racist. I don't know you, lady, but I know that.
But I know not
ain't
enough.
No black people getting nominated for 2 years in a row. Ain't no brown people getting nominated for 2 years in a row.
No brown, no Latino, no Indian, no Mexican, no.
Okay, Karen, you're getting kind of racist. I
know you are. So I'm getting racist.
At some point, you're gonna say something that's not right. And can we just keep it simple?
Okay.
I said it with brown. I covered it. Let's just. We don't want any letters, okay, guys?
Okay, we're gonna keep it non-racist. My bad.
But there's all kinds of people that did not get nominated. So yeah, people are, you know, upset, and you are part of this collective. So the thing is, you don't get to opt in and out of this collective, right?
Right.
So Penelope Ann Miller, when the Oscars come out and when people are awarded, she's part of the Oscar committee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When someone wins an Oscar, that part of the assumption there is you're part of the process. You don't ever go, well, I don't count for that Denzel Oscar. Like, you don't say that. You don't, mm-hmm. Well, you know, when, you know, when so-and-so got his Oscar, that wasn't me. You never clarify any other fucking time. So how the fuck are we supposed to know?
Yeah, so here's the deal. When I did Black Chick Watching Live, there was a quote by Ruth Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice.
RBG?
And somebody asked, yes, Ruthie. So Ruthie was like, what did she say? Oh, somebody asked, you know, how many women on the Supreme Court would be enough? And she said 9. And she's like, you know, no one wants to be a one at a time oddity. And it's been 9 men for most of the history of the country. And nobody thought that was strange. And that's my thing. And that's like my new favorite thing is nobody thought it was strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like when I do Black Chick Watching, people are like, well, what do you want? And stuff like that. It's like, what I want is for it not to be weird that I want more. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It feels like a version of the Nuremberg defense. And it's like, yeah, you don't get to get away with that. That it's just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing.
Right. And you're not really offering a solution. You're just going no to what I'm saying.
Yeah. It is also weird that because you have the problem with what happened, you have to also have the solution for what happened.
Right.
That's always this weird thing where you're like, I reviewed the thing that was presented the same fucking way you did. I had issues with it. I don't have to fucking take the next bus to Hollywood and make a black film. I'm sorry. I can just have a problem with the shit that you put in front of my face. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When everybody else reviewed this shit, you were cool. You know, when I reviewed The Hateful Eight and I was like, yo, Quentin Tarantino got nigga in this shit too much. Well, I mean, not historically for the time, yo, historically they don't talk like that. So it's not even a period piece. They talk like we talk now, but with nigga thrown in 75 times.
Come on, dog.
That's my review of the fucking film, okay? Like, maybe a white person don't have a problem with it. White person don't live my life.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's gonna be other black people that won't have a problem with it. So I personally, it took me out of the film, right? That's part of what diversity is. Diverse opinions, different perspectives, different points of view. And they don't really seem to court that shit. So whenever, you know, something like this happens, it feels like it's because of all the people that constantly stand in the way of anybody else having an opinion about this shit.
Right.
You know, anybody that, in my opinion, anybody that has the, well, what do you think, man? It was a Tarantino movie. Hey, they sent me the screener, motherfucker. I didn't pay. Like, they wanted my opinion. So, yeah, you're just helping the status quo, you know? So I hope you're not one of those people that defends, like, Quentin Tarantino saying 75 niggas per episode of whatever he's writing, and then go, yeah, man, well, you know, I'm upset that the Oscars are all white. Well, it's an all-white perspective, and we got to stop validating that shit. It's not always right to be this way. And like I said, Miller's part of the problem. Whether she wants to acknowledge it or not, because her taking personal offense to it takes everybody else off the hook. Cause we just, okay, so that's your ballot. Got it. That's your ballot.
The one out of the 7,000.
What the fuck happened then, Penelope?
Right.
What's just a competitive year? Again? You know, isn't every year kind of competitive? I mean, what does that mean? Black people can't compete?
Basically, yeah.
You know, like, there's no good fucking excuse for it. It's so funny to listen to them caping for it. Another member of the actors branch who wishes to remain anonymous,
mm-hmm.
says, I'm very offended by the idea that some people are calling us racist. Race was the furthest thing from my mind when I cast my ballot. And in fact, I nominated one person of color for an award. Such a sweeping declaration is extremely irresponsible. Yeah, it was the furthest thing from my mind. That's why I remember the one nigga I voted for.
Come on now.
The one person of color I voted for. Made a note of that. It wasn't on my mind though, but I made a note of, I wrote down, I circled his name twice. And I would say she, but no black women got any roles. And I think Tangerine was the only movie that, you know, had a woman of color in it that actually got acclaim. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tessa Thompson, but you didn't do anything this year as far as everybody else concerned. Jeremy Larner, a member of the writers branch, which did nominate Compton's White Writers for Best Original Screenplay, was a civil rights activist in the 1960s and won an Oscar for 1972's The Candidate. Says, I cannot prove the Academy or anyone else is not racist, he grants, but he says in his own defense, I have voted for many people of color for awards. Having to think straight out of Compton is not a great film for reasons of structure and substance. I can imagine it is a powerful affirmation for those who share the assumptions of his music and see it as fans, but to me, a good film has to show a lot more than this one does. What does that have to do with the fucking question you were asked?
Nothing.
Hey, nothing. Man. Isn't it weird that no black people got selected for any of this shit? I didn't like Straight Outta Compton. Okay. I gotta tell you, man, I wasn't feeling it. I don't even know who Eazy-E is.
Right, because see, this person's name was attached, and it was like, nope, you won't be catching me.
He feels that that people displeased with the noms should focus their frustration on the bigger picture. Oh, that's always a good one. Can't do both. It is not a time to make enemies among those who would move us forward in the direction of fairness, freedom, and justice, he argues.
Threat. You hear me?
Threat.
He's holding the, pushing them against the wall and holding them by the collar when saying that.
Motherfuckers, I'm your friend, you niggers. Referring to make voting harder for black people in many states. What
does it have to do with the question at hand?
He agrees that there were an incredible number of films in 2015 that were primarily about white people. Talk to the studios about changing that, not the Academy. See, I always think that's funny too, because I've seen people try to present that argument. Here's the problem with that: you can't present your award as the pinnacle of excellence and then say we have no influence on the industry,
right?
So with you rewarding nothing but whiteness and the peak of whiteness and the most whiteness of whiteness, you can't turn around and then go talk to the studio heads. You're talking to the studio heads every time you nominate someone and every time you give someone an award. You tell them what will get these awards and what to go back and work on. That's the feedback ultimately every single year from this industry. So if you're gonna say, here's an award for a black person playing a slave, guess what the fuck's gonna come out next year?
Another goddamn slave movie.
A movie about some black people being in subservient positions.
Come on, dog.
And when you have a year like this where we don't have that movie, nobody gets shit, guess what lessons learned? Go back to being slaves. It's pretty fucking easy, man. It ain't like, not to get all hotep on you, but that's a pretty fucking A to B answer right there, dog. That ain't even complicated.
It's very simple, and it's, like I said, it's just amazing how even the black people that won a lot of their Oscars won their roles, and for a lot of them, like particularly with Denzel, he for Training Day, like he had to be a thug to win. It's like you couldn't have got it for the roles that you was probably supposed to win it for. You got it for something else because we quote unquote felt bad for you.
I think when you make race the issue, it can divide people even further. That's what I worry about, says that first chick that I hate. Miller, whatever. Oh, Penelope A. Middle.
Yeah,
guys. Stop making it about race that we didn't nominate any black people.
100 for you.
It's so funny that the default of whiteness equals not being about race.
Right, because it's never about race, right?
Right. They just had 20 superior performances to black people. It's not, but that's not about race at all, guys.
Jennifer Lawrence wooden fucking face, no thank you.
Not being able to relate.
Stop.
Not being able to relate to Straight Outta Compton is not about race, right? Like, you not knowing who Eazy-E is, so you don't think that the actor who portrayed him did a good or bad job because you don't know what he was supposed to be like. That has no cultural, no racial implications at all.
Right.
I just won't nominate that.
Right, because you can't relate.
Yeah, very weird. Very weird. Stacey Dash had some thoughts on the Oscars.
Oh, this chick.
Mm-hmm. You know how she do.
This morning there's some growing outrage. And there's some growing outrage with some over the lack of diversity in this year's list of Oscar nominees. Filmmaker Spike Lee and actress Jada Pinkett Smith say they're not going to go to the Oscars next month after an all-white list of nominees was announced for the major categories for a second year in a row. Join us now to weigh in, actress and Fox News contributor Stacey Dash. Stacey, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think about this?
I think it's ludicrous.
Why?
Because we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
So you say there shouldn't be a BET channel?
No, I don't think so, no. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Are you saying there shouldn't be a Black History Month because there isn't a White History Month?
Exactly. Exactly.
Al Sharpton has jumped on this boycott bandwagon. He says, don't watch.
By the way, they are only interviewing Stacey Dash by herself in a seat. Like, this is the most important interview ever. This is not her on Fox and Friends in the panel. This is her just, like, standing up there like Colin Powell handing that anthrax or whatever. This is her just straight up being like, I'm putting all my black chips on the table and I'm cashing them in today as a black correspondent to tell you why white people are awesome and black people are the problem.
Because Hollywood, here's a quote, Hollywood has become like the Rocky Mountains. The higher you get, the whiter.
The whiter you get. Well, that's not necessarily true. And if it is, you know, that needs to change. What I find astounding is that we've had a president who is black in office for the past 8 years, who gets most of his funding from the liberal elite in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are not very many roles for people of color.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. Sorry, she's making my head hurt. I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, she's dumb as bricks.
Can that be? And why is it just...
Oh, by the way, also, that's just not factually correct. Barack Obama, before Bernie Sanders, was pretty much the poster boy for raising money through being a man of the people and getting all this money from small donations from, you know, from not corporations, but from just actual human beings.
Right, a lot of microtransactions, right.
Yeah, but okay.
It's now being addressed.
I can understand, Jada Pinkett Smith's frustration that her husband wasn't nominated for, you know, he did a great job in the movie Concussion.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what does that say about how people are selected for these awards?
Right. That's assuming they're selected by race, which I think would be a disservice to the people who are looking at the films and making the choices. Maybe they need to be more, you know, integrated and there need to be more diverse people in the process of electing
in the academy.
But that just kind of contradicts the whole shit you said, because that's everybody else's point.
Right?
Like, how is this possible to be this stupid? Oh wait, I'm sorry, racism. Yeah, sorry, I forgot.
The demographics of the Academy apparently are secret, but for the most part, according to some investigation out, it's predominantly white males.
Mm-hmm. Really?
According to some investigation.
Mm-hmm. Some. According
they
to
got them. Nancy Drew on this.
Yeah.
Because to crack
I'm not Nancy Drew.
You know, it's very difficult to determine how these decisions keep coming out. You know,
tell me why ain't nothing but a heartache.
So maybe that says something about who they select, or are they looking for that, or the best movies and the best actors?
I hope they're looking for the best movies and the best actors. The good news is that there's attention brought to it now. But like I said, over the past 8 years, we've had a president black who gets his funding mainly from Hollywood, the elite liberals.
Yeah.
So it's odd to me that this has now become such an issue.
Well, let's see what happens, because they are calling for people.
It's crazy, because they're just like, bring on a black person or just any person really in general. And how can you make this about Obama in 7 words or less? Like, how do we get from whatever the fuck happened in the news today to how it's Obama's fault? That's wild, man. And people, this is the most watched news show, like news channel. At any rate though, I thought it was interesting that, she did the most simplistic bullshit I ever heard in my life, which is the, why we gotta have Black History Month. Why we gotta have BET channel? Why we gotta have BET? Ain't no WET. There's no wet channel. So why we gotta do that? Mm-hmm. Nope. Why we gotta have Black power? Ain't no white power. That's bad. So yeah, very simple for Stacey Dash. Stacey Dash, let's see how many Oscars she's won.
Remember the Carrie of the Two.
Okay, it looks like her wiki is, oh, I don't see anything. Not even an image award.
Somebody deleted that. You know how haters are.
That's probably what it is. Even Aunt Viv got nominated for an image award, you know. And I understood her point, which is, look, I only been nominated for an NAACP Image Award one time. I don't care if the Oscars own slaves. I'm showing up. I'm showing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get her point. She like, I'm too old in this game, and I've been excellent for too long, and I ain't got shit. And as far as, you know, the main thing I took from that video, and I really do hope that the Smiths don't get upset and stop working with Black people, because her camera and lighting was kind of off.
Oh, bless.
So hopefully
she looked like the first stunt, the second on Viv.
She did. What the fuck was that filter? Oh, anyway, but yeah, man, so Stacey Dash ain't shit, man. She's
she get a 100, because the problem with Stacey Dash is that she failed to realize the only reason why Black people know you is because of your brother.
No, that's not her brother.
Well, her family member.
That's her cousin. No, well, that was actually my point on Facebook. She's Dame Dash's cousin. Okay.
Cousin, okay.
Let's call him.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, makes a lot more sense now.
Yes.
Like, you're like, oh, okay, it's probably genetic or something. Neither one of them niggas.
I can imagine
sense.
That reunion.
Woo, what is Thanksgiving like at that house?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, she just makes me so mad, just so ignorant. And she was basically trending on Twitter, and BET was basically fucking roasting her.
She was a huge part of one of the best King magazine covers of all time, when she was showing them cheeks on a Black magazine. She had no problems then.
Right.
She had no problem getting a check from BET when she was
videos
on
videos and shit.
Well, she was on the game.
Right.
As an actress. She was also in Kanye West's All Fall Down video.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have any problem cashing a Black check, but now she cashing them white checks, y'all, and Fox News don't never miss a payday. So she can go be stupid and wrong. They'll never fact check her as long as she's saying something bad about Black people or the president. It's an easy check for somebody, like her to make. So good for her, I guess.
You just better stay on top of the game, cause you start slipping up and getting woke. They'll just replace you with another one.
That'll never happen. I'm still waiting on one of these niggas to break character. Just once.
Oh, no, the check too good.
It would be so cool if just, like, right before, you know, like I don't know, 20 years into the game, one of them just writes a book that's like, how I fooled white people into making me a millionaire. I don't believe any of, like, just like if Herman Cain just came out and was like, I don't believe any of this shit. I'm the blackest nigga y'all know. I say nigga all the time. I'm from the hood. They let me run for president, y'all.
I hate fried chicken. I hate cheese.
Yeah. You think I give a fuck about the tax plan, man? I'm a nigga that used to run fucking, Little Caesars. Okay? That's me. they let me try to be president. Why? Because I just said I hate black people. It was easy. Like, they just need to do that. Let one of y'all break character. One of y'all.
The money must be real nice, real long.
Sam Smith, everybody's favorite R&B singer. Mm-hmm. I would even say the person who discovered R&B. For a generation is what I was going to. For a generation. I'm sorry.
And you know what? He actually won a BET award for.
Well, you know.
Stacey Dash said only black folks.
Stacey don't. Come on. You fact checking Stacey?
I mean, he might sing like a nigga, but he ain't a nigga.
Yeah, they gave like two awards to white people this year.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with your natural voice the way it is, but come on now, let's keep it real.
Anyway, Sam Smith had this to say on Twitter. Just experienced my friend getting verbally abused racially in London. I'm absolutely speechless. I never, ever, ever thought that would happen here. Absolutely speechless and hurt.
Oh, poor thing.
I feel like I have to shine some sort of light on it. The police were so unhelpful in the situation and it deeply shocked me. Humans are, caps lock, humans. Next week. I feel like I have to say something. I'm just so upset.
Oh, Jesus.
I just got home and Nina Simone is on the radio. Fitting.
Oh, my cha-cha-cha, sweet baby Jesus. Black people, hold on, hold the presses. A white man has something to say about injustice and how it affects him.
He saw injustice.
Talking for a bit.
He saw it, y'all. Sure. He has the Harlem Choir singing back up at his songs?
Come on, dog.
But this is a first for him. This shit y'all been talking about is real? What?
It sure is. You know, you can love our culture, but you gotta love us too. But, you know, for some reason he loved the culture and benefited from the culture and took awards from the culture. You know, or not him, but people giving him awards away from the culture and claiming that he's the blackest thing to ever live and he invented R&B, but yet you don't know nothing about our problems and our issues and our struggles. Okay.
People on Twitter had things to say to him. Someone said, the most ironic thing about Sam Smith discovering racism exists is the fact that the story became about him and not his friend, the victim.
Thank you.
Yeah, he said he wanted to shine a light on it. Do you get any badge numbers? What's your homie's Twitter? Like, let him talk about it. He said, this thing happened to me and only me. Feel sad for me. Nina Simone is playing on the radio.
Oh my God.
I wonder, did he sing while he was tweeting this?
He should have tweeted Strange Fruit next and people would have fucking. That would have made people so mad. if he would have just tweeted ... from the poplar trees. Ooh, Twitter would have. That's why Twitter was down this morning.
Do it for the vine.
Yeah, that's why Twitter wasn't acting right the other day.
He should have sang it. Put up a tree.
If he would have fucking did a. If he would have Snapchatted, oh man.
Yes, that would have been everything. Put that shit on Instagram. Meanwhile, on Instagram.
His career would be over as we know it.
I'd have been there for it.
If he would have just meerkatted himself crying. Oh man. I'm glad he didn't. Woo! I'm glad he didn't, man. I don't have nothing against that dude.
Me either. He has a beautiful voice, you know, but it's just one of those things where just me being black on the outside, how you get praise and praise and praise when niggas been singing like this forever.
Yeah. Anybody with white friends.
What he sang?
He's saying that Stay With Me song.
It's a beautiful song.
Stay with me, gotta stay with me. Okay.
Yeah.
He has a beautiful voice.
He got sued by whoever made that song, I Won't Back Down, because it kind of stole the same beat and shit. Mm-hmm. But he ended up.
Why do I know that one?
Was it Tom Petty that made Won't Back Down?
I think so.
Won't Back Down.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, he got sued for that shit, and then he ended up paying him. This dude Panther says Sam Smith witnessed his friends experience racism, and now he wants to shine the light on something about as known as cars having four wheels. Captain Kirk says, I just want to know what Sam Smith's grasp on racism was before this point. 502 Heba says, Sam Smith got Negro spirituals in the background of his songs, but just discovered racism existed last night. Okay.
Well, I'm talking about you want to be a part of the culture and sing, but you don't know nothing about the culture.
I can't help but feel kind of bad for him, man. I mean, considering if you believe he was genuine, which I do.
I do too.
I feel kind of bad for him.
Cause yeah, like, because like, it's a reality call for him and everybody else. Like, this ain't new.
If you ever had white friends, you've had this conversation before. Like, where you like, yeah, man, police will pull us over for no reason. They're just like, what? Then they see some racist shit and they're like, I saw someone in the store following a guy around. And I think it's because he was black.
I mean, for
like, and then yeah, nigga.
Like,
yeah.
Like, for no reason. Like, he wasn't doing anything.
I know.
He wasn't breaking the law. He wasn't stealing nothing. I mean, just for no reason. But I walked right past with no problem. And I stole three items. But right. That didn't stop me.
Right. You're like, yeah, that's the shit that we've been talking about.
Right.
You just seen it. It's like, so it's real?
Yeah, yes.
It's real, Sam.
and it's almost... You know white privilege is real, like, but you don't, it's like, I had to almost see it in action when we'd be around white people and they would talk about getting high and walking down the street and smoking marijuana. I would look at them like, oh my gosh, what's happening here?
Yeah.
So it can happen in reverse.
Yeah, I've had it happen the other way too, because I didn't have white friends till I was out of college.
Right.
So... they would do some white shit and I'd be like, the fuck?
Right, we gonna get arrested.
Yeah, you can't do that. And it's like, no, I actually can. I'm white.
Did nobody tell you, nigga?
Yeah, they start laughing like that too.
Yes, they do. Smoking their cigar.
Of course we can, Rod. I'm like, I didn't dress to go in this club. I only have jogging pants. You're with me. I'm white. Come on in.
Right, I got you covered.
That was a real thing that happened.
Yes. Yeah, and they thought he was the bodyguard.
They thought I was a bouncer. But
oh, that's right, a bouncer. That's right. People poke in, look at you, and leave. Yeah.
But the point is, my black ass would have showed up by myself. I've been outside by myself. I wouldn't have got in that club.
No way.
I didn't think I was getting in with them white folks.
Huh.
So it's definitely real.
They figured out you were hired help in the first place.
Another person said. this lady B Babs said, me when Sam Smith told me that racism is a thing and police don't care, and she put up this picture, which is tremendous. Black people don't ever change. You guys are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Yes, you can't tell me nothing.
Yep,
you're the best.
So pretty much for the entirety of this opening of the show, 100 for fucking with black people?
Oh, yeah. Everybody got 100.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100 or middle finger, both for some people.
Yeah. I guess we can move on to our games and stuff now. There was other shit, but come on. We've been going for a while. Let's get into what everybody's really here for. This racism, okay? Mm-hmm. I know what you guys come to the Blackout Tips for. You want to see if Amber is as racist as you remember.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Amber from Black Sexy Geeky and Mental Podcast and Black Chick Walking Podcast, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along, and the chat room's racist. All right. Story number one. Police arrest a teen.
Black.
All right. Now, I will read the rest for you in the chat room. And Amber, if you change your mind, just let me know. Who allegedly confessed to killing her boyfriend at a San Bernardino apartment. An 18-year-old woman was arrested Sunday in connection with the stabbing death of a man during a possible domestic dispute earlier this week. Nicasia James was taken into custody by Hemet police after detectives responded to a tip, Lieutenant Rich Lawhead of the San Bernardino Police Department said. James was a suspect in the killing of Dorian Powell, 21, who was found dead early Monday morning inside a San Bernardino apartment. At about 2:35 a.m., police received a call regarding a person who had reportedly been stabbed by his girlfriend. Officers responded to the house on North Central Avenue, where they found Powell suffering from injuries consistent with the stabbing. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The homicide was apparently related to a domestic disturbance inside the home. James, initially described as a person of interest in the case, was aware at the time that she was being sought in connection with the killing, according to investigators. Later Monday, an apparent confession was published on a Facebook page purportedly belonging to a person named Nicasia Mock James. The author of the post wrote that she had been fighting with her ex who hit her in the face. We was really fighting and I got got the knife and stabbed him, the statement said, adding that she didn't think I would hurt him. BT, I did, he died. I guess I mean, but I did and he died. So she did not think she would hurt him with by stabbing him with a knife. But she did stab him with the knife. And he did die from the stabbing with the knife. Which is not really a good thing. I mean, that's kind of what I would think would happen if you stab someone with a knife. But maybe I'm the one who's crazy. You never know. At any rate, guess the race of Nicasia James. Amber, are you still sticking with black?
She can't drink milk.
Oh, okay. All right. Little lactose intolerance. I see what you did there, buddy. Let's see what the chat room does. Benefiting from all that BET and Black History Month privilege, an employee of White Entertainment Television would never do something like this. Black, says BB. Aww. Oh, she makes Bernie pragmatic. Yeah, her dreams are impossible, guys. And people are taking a while to respond. I guess it's
a little bit of a delay here.
Sometimes it happens. I'll give them a few more seconds. And then I'm going to have to move on. I'm sorry, guys, from these guesses. Let's see. All right. That seems like you guys are either stomped on this or you guys are slow to respond. The correct answer is, and Amber got it right, she's black. And here's her picture if you guys want to see it. We got a little kitty action. Amber is playing with her pussy, y'all, right here live on the air. If you didn't see it, you just missed it. It's I'm just saying, you guys missed it. A good one.
So pretty.
What do you call your cat again?
Blink.
Blank. There you go. Blank. but yeah, man, stay off Facebook if you decide to murder your boyfriend. Okay, guys.
Yeah, I would
try.
You know,
try your dad. Just.
I mean, she wrote, "Just gonna tell y'all anyway before I get caught." Sad. And then she put a sad face smiley, guys. Like,
oh my God,
the one with the one tear.
Aww.
You know what I'm talking about? She put that as the smiley for
she
the
pretty too.
She says,
"Yeah,
last night my ex was drunk off E&J and was fighting me, hit me in the face, and we was really fighting. And I got the knife and stabbed him. Didn't think it would hurt him, but I did. He died, and I'm on the run. Pigs looking for me. Another cry face. But God knows I didn't mean to stab him." I was mad as fuck AF. He socked me in our eyes and just picked something up. But sorry, Lord. Hopefully you forgive me. And sorry, Dorian Powell. Rest in peace. And then the sweat emoji on the top of her head. That's amazing.
Oh, what's an E&J?
E&J is alcohol.
Oh.
whoa, that, like, that's a thing I can't believe happened. She put smileys in her murder confession.
Emojis, that's when you know it's real.
That's the most millennial thing that has ever happened in the history of existence.
We old. It's not a fish without emojis.
It ain't. Oh, that, like, only thing missing was, like, LOL. That's the only thing, like a meme of some type. Like, like her putting the Jordan face on his corpse would have been, like, the top of that.
Stop. That's the only way.
That'd have been better.
That could have been better. Jesus, I can't believe that happened. Anyway, bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round against the race so far. Amber is 1-for-1. But can she keep the hot streak going in the bonus round? We'll see. Everything's worth double the points, double the race. Amber, you getting nervous?
No, I'm good, son.
I see. A Tennessee school teacher is facing reckless endangerment charges after police say she was found driving around town with 9 children in her vehicle, including 3 riding in the trunk. Andrea Desha James, 32, was arrested Sunday evening after police say they received a call about the disturbing sight at a Speedway gas station in Laverne outside of Nashville. In addition to the 3 children, all of them being between the ages of 9 and 10, in her trunk.
Oh, wow.
James,
babies.
James, wow. James allegedly had 6 other children of similar age in the vehicle's cab area. It isn't clear whether the children were harmed in any way, but there have been no reports of injuries or other physical trauma. When questioned by police, James identified herself as a teacher at Alex Green Impact School. It's not clear why James had any of the children in her car in the first place. James denied she ever had kids in her trunk, but said the children were in her car because she was removing them from an unsafe situation. The children's parents were reportedly called to pick them up from the scene while James was booked in the Rutherford County Jail. She's since been bonded out. Laverne police spokesman said that told the journal that the children in the car may have been her students, James' students. Guess the race.
You mean if they were just random 9 and 10 year olds?
She picked out the street.
Y'all, this ain't safe. Get in my car.
I did hear a story like that on 9/11 in New York, not Thursday in Tennessee.
Well, it was raining pretty hard, so that's like an emergency too. Guess the race, Amber.
Oh, this is hard because my gut is saying white, but that name is black. Ooh, what do I want to go with? It's stupid like a white person, so. Okay, I'm going to go against my gut and say that she was the color of cells Charlie Sheen can't afford to lose.
Oh, all right.
Ouch.
That was a groaner.
Nikki says Cicely Tyson level blackness. BB says, how do we know she wasn't just creating a modernization of the Underground Railroad in honor of Black History Month? Black history isn't a crime, black. White woman auditioning for Matt Damon's new movie, The Mexican.
Oh.
Someone that took the white savior thing too far, white. The color Stacey Dash hates, black. The act says Mexican, but the name says black. Black.
I know, right? Isn't it hard?
Well, Amber.
This is tough.
I have to tell you.
Yeah.
You put it all on the line.
Oh, no.
And you were wrong. She is black.
Oh, shit. And hisses. Really? And hisses?
Yes, we've made some upgrades since the last time you were wrong.
Oh, God.
Some people were right.
HIV joke out, didn't I?
I'll tell you one thing about this lady. When she says get in the car, you get your ass in that car.
Yeah, I clear you do.
So
I'm going to go ahead and close this window if you don't mind.
She likes to get in the trunk, but it's only three. Get in the trunk. All right. I can't breathe. I got asthma. All
right.
All right. You know what? I feel bad about how that one went down. Let's give
one more.
Let's give Amber one more chance. Okay, guys.
Yay.
Third one. Bonus round. This is for all the marbles. Okay.
Yes.
A 21-year-old woman froze to death Sunday after she left a house party in Wisconsin wearing just shorts and stockings. Elizabeth Lubke was found by a passerby just a few blocks from her house where she had attended a party the night before. She attended the party following a concert on Saturday night. She had been reported missing by her mother. Officials said that a video camera at a nearby business captured her walking down the street when she apparently collapsed in front of her home and eventually stopped moving.
Oh.
It was a freezing night with a low temperature of negative 27.5 degrees with the wind chill factored in at 4:25 a.m. when she collapsed. They say her body was mostly frozen when it was found and that she was not dressed for the elements. She was found wearing shorts, fishnet stockings, shoes, and a tank top. A sweater was found near her body. Mm. Well, no need to put that on. Apparently, she had angrily left the party after an argument. When she got here, she was really, really drunk, and she got mad at her other friend, and she stormed out. Her mother told authorities her daughter had a history of binge drinking and was hospitalized for alcohol poisoning in October after she was found passed out at a bar. Her blood alcohol content at the hospital was 0.4. Shit. Some people, of course, mourned her, called her one of the nicest and caring people. Others questioned why people at the party allowed her to leave in such harsh weather. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. Someone put, you especially didn't deserve to die by frozen to death because your, in quotes, friends left you leave a party wearing shorts and a tank top. So guess the race of Miss what is her first name, Elizabeth
Becky.
Lugie. Okay, so sounds like you got your mind made up.
Yeah, I'm gonna, this one is a shout out to my friend Spreadsheet. She gave me this one. Smart ass known as a cheese whiz.
Shout out to Spreadsheet. Let's see what the chat room thinks. The official white people winner wear shorts and a sweatshirt white. Elise says, okay, you know, we're a tropical people and no black mama would look for her, would look for her or would let her out the house like that. This special snowflake is white. Wearing the traditional winter garments of her people, shorts, this white woman is now the world's saddest popsicle.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
More than that, push up pop we talked about the other day, guys. The shoes were Uggs. Why, damn it. The shoes were Uggs. Oh, they do love Uggs. Not dressed for the elements. Probably wearing cheese head and flip flops. White flip flops. White people do be wearing flip flops when it's cold. I seen that the other day and me and this brother looked at each other and just exchanged faces. We didn't even know each other. We just was like, look at this white boy in these shorts and flip flops. It's cold in the motherfucker.
And give zero fucks.
Yeah. And we was at the Y, so I have no idea what that dude was doing. Like, it was like 6 a.m. at the YMCA. Like, what the fuck were you gonna do with shorts and flip flops? Swim?
Ah!
There's nothing you can do inside that Y with shorts and flip flops. Anyway. And they weren't swimming trunks. They were like khaki, like those cargo pants. Like, they weren't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, oh, he's just running into
the
pool.
I knew it were cargo pants before you said that, because you said he was white and wearing shorts in the winter.
They do love that. Darwinism at its best, white, frozen cheddar.
Oh.
The correct answer is white. There we go. Amber made a tremendous comeback.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Made up for it.
And now we gotta finish it up with some sword ratchetness. Where's my sword sound effect? There we go.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
to crunching.
Now that is a close shave. Speaking of close shaves, today's Sword Ratchetness is brought to you by Bevel. The first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. All right. New year, new you, new face, new skin. I think it is time for people to let the razor bumps go. All right. Valentine's Day is approaching. You can order yours now. It'll be here in a few days. Start shaving with it now. Then you'll look presentable enough to ask somebody out. You, right now, I'm not saying that you're ugly or anything, but I'm just saying the confidence that comes with shaving with a razor that's designed for your skin, that takes all your razor bumps off, you might ask somebody out that's a dime. You know what I'm saying? You might ask somebody out that you've been thinking about asking out for a long time, but you just been scared to do it because you like look in the mirror and you be like, this is me. Ugh. So this will help you out.
I'm doing online dating again, so just putting it out there, guys. Get your shave on.
Get your shave on. And, you know, maybe you've been listening to her podcast, jerking off to her pictures for years. I don't know. But now it's time for you to have that confidence. So go to getbevel.com. Use code TBGWT. You get 20% off of your first month. And then, you know, get your holla on, man. Take a good selfie. Put it on your OKCupid profile or whatever it is that you use.
And, yeah, OKCupid, good old reliable.
Yeah, and then, you know, start searching for Amber. There you go. All right. No hotels, please.
Oh, no.
If you're too woke, don't. Don't. Please don't. A sword wielding man threatens family by family taking pictures, authorities say. His name is Michael Anthony Van Fossen. Guess the race. White. A Harris County man, Michael Anthony Van Fossen, 51, is facing an assault charge after authorities say he threatened a family with a sword. It all started when a man was taking pictures with his family on a dead end road. Was this dude never seen a horror movie? What the fuck would you do that for? All right, kids, get out the car. Made it to the dead end road. The man with his family told deputies Van Fossen drove up to them and yelled at them to leave. Suddenly pulling a sword from his vehicle and threatening them. The man with family claims they tried to leave, but Van Fossen used his vehicle to block the exit. Van Fossen was still there when authorities showed up. He was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and booked in the Harris County Jail. Bail was set at $30,000 and he remains in jail. Shit. What did they even do wrong?
Ah!
Other than get out the car at a dead end. I mean, you know what? I answer my own question. That's... I hate to blame the victim, but come on. That's y'all's fault. At least he didn't stab you. Anyway, man. Make sure you guys check out Amber's podcast.
Oh, I've got plugs. Is that okay?
Yeah, you got plugs, man.
Where do I start? So, give my hit podcast, Black Chick Watching, a review, especially in iTunes. Give me five stars makes you awesome. Four stars makes you passive aggressive. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. And less than that makes you racist, except if you're black, because black people can't be racist. Mm-hmm. Or people of color. Anyhow, I have a live show, my fundraiser, but it's not just a fundraiser. It's fun times. It devolves into chaos and everybody loves it every year. There's, you can get entered to win a prize if you give a 5-star review for Black Chick Watching. The person who gives the most gets, a prize, and you get entered to win a prize if you donate $25 or more. That's Sunday, January 24th, which as of this recording is in a few days, January 24th, 7? Probably PM Eastern time. Listen to Black Chick Watching. Oh, and last thing, I'm trying to get a job because I used to be a performer and I was completely unemployable in normal jobs. And I found that, training and development would be good. So if for some reason you know training and development, like being a corporate trainer or something, or know somebody who you can hook me up with, write to me at amberpodcast@gmail.com. I'm trying to get my job on. And that's it for me.
All right. Make sure you follow her on Twitter. At Amber Podcast. And, you know, what about, do you want them to join, to be your Facebook friend or no? that too far?
No, but you can join the Black Chick Watch.
There you go.
The Black Chick Watching, what is it?
The group?
The group. Black Chick Watching Group. I put cool Black Chick related stuff there, so yeah.
There you guys go, man. Amber, as always, it is lovely to see you. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. Everybody else out there, we'll be back, Saturday when we do our feedback show. And Balls Deep, we'll be doing at 5:30 on Friday, because Justin is responsible and has shit to do. But we'll definitely be doing it. So for the rest of you guys, make sure you guys go to getbevel.com, and we'll be back Saturday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.